This is an encore presentation of Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and wow. Yeah, we're turned up a little bit there.
Sounds like it.
Gosh. I didn't, wasn't being any different than usual.
No,
here.
But well, crazy.
Well, you know, when I come here in the morning and the camera diaper's on, I always wonder about that. You know, they put that little mask over there so nobody can see them.
Well, so now what's going on? That's my question. What's going on?
I don't know what's going on. You know what? Maybe I'm going to have to ask Ben. Say, Ben, was there something weird going on in the studios? They put that, you know, so nobody can see in there. Anyway, hey, good morning, everybody. Today, the 20th of November, Wednesday, 7:06 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, Caring Compassion Community, Shasta Regional Medical Center. And Sue is here for a while today.
Good morning.
As
hi.
As people, which I'm very happy about because she's been up for 2 hours, and she's been working for an hour, so she can carry the show here if I just lay down on the...
Well, there you go.
Lay down here on
our studio
table.
I could just talk about the weather.
Well, why don't we do that, okay?
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it's supposed to be 100% rain today, and everything I'm reading is we could have 10 inches of rain. Am I reading this right by this weekend?
Yep, that's exactly it. Now, today in the North Valley, heavy rain and patchy fog on the valley floor. However, once you start heading up in higher elevations, we're talking if you're heading northbound on Interstate 5, if you're traveling towards Lassen Park, if you're traveling basically towards the coast on 299, you will encounter delays. If not, you might even be turned around. We've got this atmospheric river, this bomb cyclone.
Bomb is coming.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, and they're talking, we're talking several feet of snow up at Mount Shasta's higher areas up there.
With an avalanche warning.
With an avalanche warning. Yeah, I just saw that this morning, too.
Yeah. So that's what we're looking at.
Okay, now, that's today.
Mm-hmm.
So, Thursday, precipitation 100%, low is around 49. At night, and a high is at 53, and then Friday, 100%, Saturday, Saturday, 80% chance of precipitation, Sunday, it's gonna start just being mainly cloudy there on Sunday, and maybe showers Sunday night, and then showers, Monday and Tuesday, but Tuesday it's gonna say it's partly sunny, with a high near 54.
Yay! So, we'll dry out for a couple of days. Clean up.
Now, we're supposed to be going to the Garden of Lights tonight.
Yeah.
And it's media night. And Linda's already told me, stand by, just get into your rain gear, because we're going to go.
Right.
And which is fine. I don't know. Are you all coming?
I'll dress warm. It's protected. So
yeah, we're going to be in the igloo, so we can hide in there, and then I'll make a dash out with the camera and take pictures of all the lights and bring it back in, and I'll text them to everybody.
Yeah, and anyway, really kind of depends on the winds, too.
It does.
Like, if the winds continue to kick up, 24 miles per hour today, 20 tonight, and 20 tomorrow.
They may call that off, because if there's a lot of rain, if there's a lot of rain standing out there.
And it'll get sloshy.
Or water standing,
yeah.
But they may call it off, and that's the case, they'll let us know. If not, it'll be me and Linda, it looks like right now. Me and Linda. And
we're planning.
Everybody else kind of like, I understand this perfectly. There's going to be chances to go all the way through the new year and going out and early. And, I mean, for us, that's fine. We do those things. But I would understand. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, the weather reports, not the weather, but the weather reports are brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson is a family-owned company that has been in the business close to 30 years, the Kinney family, locally owned, locally operated. It's a veteran-owned business. They treat their customers as warm friends. They really do. They give them just superb service. They have discounts for seniors and veterans, other payment plans. You know, they are the real deal and really nice people. I've known Chuck Kinney for a long time, and man of honor, integrity. That's the way he runs his business. Give him a call, 530-365-3793. Okay, let's move on here.
Okay, Christina, our beautiful Christina is here, so I'm going to hop out.
Hello.
Hey, enjoy the show.
Hello. Okay. Is Christina there? Is she ready? Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, give her 1 second.
I'm always ready.
You're always ready. Okay. Pardon, put your ears on. Put your ears on. Okay. Pardon my words of encouragement to get in here today, okay?
In the best words.
You know what? It's a rainy day. It's the first big rainy day, and here you were cuddling your pillow or your dog or something. All right, this warning, this storm warning, they're serious about it, my friends. It's the whole coast, West Coast, is getting hit. And they up to 8 to 18 inches of snow above the 4,500 feet and 4 to 8 inches of snow above 3,000 feet. And Linda's on her way up to where this morning? Weaverville. Like, oh, okay. We shouldn't be getting any snow down here, but we are going to get a lot of rain. So they said up to 10 inches of rain by this, you know, over the weekend, you know, from now through over the weekend. You know, we could use it, and Lake Shasta will fill up again, and that's cool. I like that. Update on the elections. And where are we at here? There really hasn't been a change in everybody and who's on the leading. And, I mean, none of that's changed. Maybe it got a few votes closer, maybe not. So far, estimated 13,650 ballots still need to be processed. They're going to release the next batch results on November 22nd, 2 days from now, at 6 p.m. Now, we're talking that, they should have this thing finished by then, but it doesn't look like they will the way the numbers are going. And as I said, nothing really has changed. Corky Harmon still has a lead over Mary Rickert. Aaron Reznor still has a lead over Mark Mazzano. And, Paul DeNuca has got a big lead over everybody, followed by Mike Littow. And Joshua Johnson, who is, I think, a couple hundred votes back. But then again, there's still 13,000 votes to count out there. So be interesting to, after this is over, if I could corner Tom and get him on the show to explain to everybody the whole processes and everything that went wrong and all this. Went wrong, meaning the overspray of the ballots. So that'll be interesting to find out. All right. We have Reading Rodeo Association coming in after the meeting last night with the city council, the big announcement on the letter of intent. We have Shasta County Sheriff's Office coming in. I don't know if it would be the sheriff or one of his people, but we'll find out at 8 o'clock. Now, let's talk about some of the things that are going on. Sandbag. Okay, here we go. Sandbag and sandpile locations in Shasta County. In Bella Vista, they're at the Bella Vista Fire Station. And west side of the station, Bernie, at the Sheriff's Bernie Station, the sand is. And bags are at the front of the building. And you have to be, if you go to Bella Vista, you have to bring bags and shovel. In Reading, it's at Fire Station number 4 on South Montague Road. Bring bags and shovel. In the vacant lot of Big League Dreams on Viking Way, bring bags and shovels. City of Anderson, across from the city core yard on Barney Street, bring your own shovel, which sounds like they have bags there. And Shasta Lake, City of Shasta Lake, intersection of Ashby Road and Flower Street, bring bags and shovel. French Gulch, It's at the fire station number 59 at the Bring Bags and Shovel in Palo Cedro. It's at the Palo Cedro Fire Station, Bring Bags and Shovel. Shingletown, at the Shingletown Volunteer Fire Station, Bags and Shovel. And West Reading, at the Cal Fire Shasta Trinity Unit at 16064 Homestake Road in Reading, and Bags and Shovels. So, except for Bernie. Looks like you got it. Looks like they got everything. You have to bring bags and shovel for the sand. Okay. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Celebrate Christmas Eve and Day at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy homestyle turkey, slow roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us for Christmas Eve or Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holidays special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hi friends, RC here with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Don Pepin Original Exclusivos Nicaraguan Puro Corojo Wrapper equals a Don Pepin Classic. Cubanesque in flavor, strength, and size, this is the stick to celebrate your latest victory. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Get ready, rodeo fans. From December 4th to the 7th, we're bringing you live coverage straight from the National Finals Rodeo.
Tune in as we go behind the scenes with exclusive interviews featuring contestants, stock contractors, and even the president of the PRCA.
Whether you're a diehard fan or just love the excitement of the rodeo, you won't want to miss a second of the show.
Join us live from the National Finals Rodeo, December 4th through 7th from 7 to 9 a.m.
Brought to you by the Redding Rodeo Association and Redding Rancheria, bucking by the river. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Bob. Good morning, everybody. 7:20 in the morning. It's like 47 or something like that. No, it's not even that warm out there. 45. It's going to be raining all day and tonight. Heavy rains tomorrow and Friday and Saturday. And starts letting up a little bit on Sunday, and still raining in on Monday. This portion of the show brought to you by Craftmaster Windshield Repair. Nobody knows how to repair windshields like Jeff Forst. He's been doing it over 20 years, been through all the schools, but has then become the master windshield repair specialist. Yeah, whether it's a small chip or a crack up to 2 feet in length, Jeff can fix it. And fix it he will, and guarantee it for the life of the windshield. Don't fool around with your family's safety. Especially during weather and thing, you know, weather like this, and it's just not going to get any better out there. For a free inspection and analysis, bring your vehicle down to 3208 South Market Street or give Jeff a call at 530-241-8373 for an appointment, car, truck, SUV, or RV. That's Craftmaster Windshield Repair, locally owned, locally operated, and a veteran-owned business. Well, yesterday we talked about the President Biden told the Ukrainians they could use the long-range missiles, and they started using them. And today, the United States has told Ukraine they can start using anti-personnel landmines. And they've had anti-tank mines that they've been using, but now with the new strategy, they're pushing troops out in front of the across the battlefield. So now they're going to start putting anti-personnel mines. Now, these aren't your grandfather's anti-personnel mines. And when I say that, and you're thinking, oh, no. No, these are actually safer. I've been in places that anti-personnel mines were put out by the hundreds of thousands in Bosnia. And with no rhyme or reason, they would just put them out. When we use landmines in the U.S. military, they're put in geo-located spaces. They're put in specific areas. And the whole idea is to deny an area to the enemy and make them go into another area. And hopefully you have covered with artillery fire or small arms fire. So you're channeling people. Now, these new mines are called non-persistent landmines. They require batteries. So over time, they become unable to detonate, making them safer for innocent civilians than those that remain deadly for years. And there was the problem with non-persistent mines, and they're put everywhere. And I mean everywhere in Bosnia. And every time it rained, it would uncover more of these mines. And the Bosnians got so good at disarming the mines
And then they, what they would do is pile them up on the side of the road. And when the NATO troops went by, they would just collect them. Yeah, that's how many. And there'd be places that you could walk. In Sarajevo, you never got off the sidewalks because they had them all marked in yellow, meaning mine areas, downtown, the suburbs, what's left of them, all of that. So, but this is also ratcheting up there in the Ukraine. It's interesting. The craziness continues as the Democrats are trying to figure out what happened. And now some of the Democrats are coming back and just, it's simple. You lost touch with America. You let your policies be run by these Ivy League think tanks that had no concept of America anymore. We're not just talking farmers in Nebraska. We're talking Hispanics in New York, Hispanics in Los Angeles. We're talking about African Americans in New York, in the Bronx, and all these. They've just lost touch. The things that they thought were real important, transgenderism, telling us the economy was great when we knew what the economy was like. Oh, no, it's good. And not addressing anything. It's crime. And how about the border? The border. Acting like, oh, no, everything's fine here. You can't keep doing that. But now these are the Democrats saying it to themselves. And then where's the legacy media? You've got the Wall Street or New York Times. Owned by Bezos, who says, we're changing. We're going to try and reach everybody. Well, he's taken a lesson out of the page of the LA Times owner, who said, he fired his whole editorial board and said, we're starting over again. If we're only reaching one small part of this nation, then we're doing something wrong. And, well, hello. Seems to me I heard the New York Times. I read the New York Times said that, but they said it in 2016 when Trump won the first time. We've lost touch with middle America. So here it is, 8 years later, and they've still lost touch, and it's like they don't care. And then LA, bless their hearts, voted unanimously to become a sanctuary city. Sanctuary city. And so what's that mean? Is that prohibit Los Angeles from providing any city resources or personnel to be used to help federal enforcement of immigration laws. And then, so what's that lead to? Okay, your police, who would love to get rid of a lot of these criminals, because as we've learned, that Venezuelan gang of cutthroats and killers is operating in something like 22 cities now. In our country. I just came across the border. Yep, that was okay. They released the draft ordinance last week, and that's what it says. They're not going to help any of the federal authorities. So what's that mean? So then the federal authorities are going to come in there and have to do all the work. Trump has already floated a plan where the U.S. military will help with the roundup of illegal migrants here. And even though California has been a sanctuary state since 2017, with the passage of Senate Bill 54, which prohibits local law enforcement agencies from using resources to investigate, detain, arrest, report, or arrest people for immigration, many public speakers push for the sanctuary ordinances, saying immigrant communities should be protected from unimaginable cruelty of raids that could separate families and target migrants. Others raise concerns about the depletion of resources given to help illegal immigrants, given that the city is continuing with mass homelessness and a housing crisis. God bless them. All right, let's take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, has been voted best in the North State 2 years in a row, 23 and 24. And there's a reason. They are the best. The only full-service jewelry store in Reading with a watch repairman, a stonecutter, a great selection of jewelry at very fair prices, locally owned, locally operated. What else can I say? Oh, they're having their anniversary sale starting in December with great savings on already really good priced jewelry. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. And when we come back, we're going to have the president of the Reading Rodeo Association with us.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Reading Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Fiesta Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Looking for a unique gift this Christmas? Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson has distinct treasures to choose from, including Christmas decorations, vinyl records, DVDs, vintage toys, and antique jewelry, such as brooches and rings, necklaces and bracelets. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles also offers vintage clothing and accessories, such as retro dresses and scarves, jackets and hats, along with vintage furniture, tablecloths and silverware, cookware, and glassware. And don't forget Mantiques, including military memorabilia, camping and mining equipment, men's jewelry such as crosses and rings, sports memorabilia, and collectibles. Come find that perfect gift this Christmas at Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson. Open Monday 10 to 6, closed Tuesday and Wednesday. Open Thursday through Saturday from 10 to 6, and Sunday noon to 5.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Reading Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindbaugh. Linda's, of all places, on her way to Weaverville, and I told her, call me. Just call me. Call me. And she said, look, if it gets bad, she'll turn around and come back. That's it. Well, that's cool. Someplace on Buckhorn. Yeah. All right. Of all times. Okay. Hey, welcome back to the show. 7:33 in the morning, 42 degrees out there on the 20th of November, and I'm here with Ted Bambino, who is the president of the Reading Rodeo Association. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Carl. Good to be here.
Okay. We're adjusting everything here. We have people at night. The voice levels are change.
Yeah.
So my producers and they're going crazy trying to figure out, making sure everybody.
Am I too loud?
Yeah, well, it's not bad. It's just whoever was there last night was probably talking like this. Had to turn them up. Anyway, so last night was a big night.
It was a great night. Yeah, real excited. Council had voted 5-0 to sign the letter of intent. The big deal is the non-binding letter of intent, right? Well, the letter of intent is direction for whomever will be at council now that it'll be changing.
Yeah.
And for staff, city staff, to start drafting, and we will start this with the city, a actual lease that'll be binding and legal. What this letter of intent has in it is it has the framework. We with the ad hoc committee of myself and Baron Browning and Joshua Johnson and Tanessa Odette, the mayor, have met with Barry Tippin. I think it's been about 6 or 7 weeks prior to this last night, developing this letter of intent or the preliminary lease, if you would. A lot of work, a lot of conversation, a lot of good dialogue, a lot of positive. So we got to this point, and they presented it to the council, and they accepted it, you know, and signed it 5-0. Now you can go into the legal tenure of the lease. So we didn't do the legal, so we did the heavy lifting, which is really a new, I don't know if it's a new concept or a different approach to it, but what it does is we're able to hash out details, small details. It saves their legal staff at the city an immense amount of time going back and forth. And it saves the Rodeo Association a lot of money to where we don't have to do this with attorneys. Now the attorneys can get involved. They can do the legalities of it, put the dots where the dots go and the cross the T's and all that, you know, as we go forward. And then we will go some back and forth with that, some detail stuff. And then hopefully by the end of January, first part of February, it'll be completed, signed, sealed, and delivered, if you would. And we can go on. But with this letter of intent and the 5-0, we're starting. You had a little few little mini discussions after the meeting last night, but we're starting our planning. We're starting to lay things out. We won't go after our financing until we actually have it in hand, simply because that's, you know, kind of putting the cart before the horse,
We don't want to spend money or start making moves until we know for sure that this is going to happen.
Right.
Because, as we know, things, you know, this has been going on for what now? 2 years?
Well, probably about, 2 years, this portion of it, but the whole, quote-unquote, Save the Reading Rodeo, it's been about 3 years.
Okay.
We're not in the Save the Reading Rodeo mode. We're into let's enhance the rodeo grounds for the community. And speaking of the community, this would not have been done. We would not be in this position without our fans and without this community and their integrating their letters, being involved with the Riverfront specific plan, and all the dialogue that they sent to the city on how much they love this rodeo grounds, how much they love the rodeo, and how they want to see it stay there and be enhanced and be improved. We all agree that it needs improvement. So that's the direction we've taken from our community, and that's where we're at.
Well, the community obviously was really strong behind the association, and for transparency, I'm a member of the Reading Rodeo Association, and I'm proud to be a member.
And a good one.
Well, sometimes I wonder. I need a lot of direction out there. You know, hey, Carl, pick up the chain link fence. Got that. Okay, we're going to do over here, and we're going to build something. Carl, go bring us some nails. Yes, I got that. You know, when you get me into the specifics.
Yeah.
Skip is so patient with
Skip's
me.
Skip's awesome.
Skip. Skip Barker. And, but I'm proud to be a member of this association. And the more I learn about it, and I learn every meeting something, that the, you know, how long it's been here, how it's been a part of our community, how it hasn't cost the city of Reading a cent. And yet, and everybody there, except we did hire a general manager, which, you know, frankly, in today's rodeo, you need somebody like that, you need a full-time person.
Yeah.
To keep on top of everything that's happening.
Right.
But everything else is volunteers.
Yeah. And it's true. I mean, we're all have businesses or jobs and families that need a lot of time or, should be the priority in life. I'm fortunate. My boys have taken over my business, and I'm on the downhill side or very close to ask them. I'm in retirement, and so I have
They'll tell everybody right now. Oh, no, right.
I have a little bit more time.
Yep.
I do joke with people I need to go back to work so I can rest because of the amount of time that it takes to do what we're doing. But this is a little excessive right now. It's very important that we get this lease, behind us so we can actually move forward with rodeo, with improvements to the grounds, and we can do it
with this lease that they're going to sign in February. It'll be a new city council.
It will.
Members, but right now the ones that appear to be coming in are all really strong for the rodeo. So this should not be a problem. So the lease is signed. Then what can the community expect to see?
Well,
at least at the beginning.
Yeah, what we'll do at that time is we'll start developing some building plans, some drafts. We'll get some rendition drawings and actual cost analysis of what that'll look like. And this will start on the east side of the arena with the announcer's booth and VIP boxes. That'll go from close to the roping boxes on the south end all the way around to rodeo flats on the north end. And that'll be our primary focus initially. We are going, and you're going as well with your lovely wife, to Las Vegas here in a couple weeks. Las Vegas is the convention for the PRCA. Also, the rodeo community gets to visit some trade shows back there. And the trade shows are things from specialty acts to companies that have gone in and rebuilt and supplied bleachers and VIP boxes and things to rodeos across the country. Now, mind you, this convention sounds, Vegas, a lot of fun. There's over 600 rodeos across the country, and a majority of them are there in Vegas. So it's a big deal for us to go get information from not only suppliers and vendors, but also our counterparts. We've seen some pictures of them tearing down a bleacher setup at a night rodeo. I think it's Caldwell Night Rodeo in, I believe it is in...
Caldwell, Idaho.
Caldwell, Idaho, I believe. Yeah. Anyway, there's a night rodeo, and they have pictures of them. We're gonna run them down in Vegas, and we're going to say, hey, here's where we're at. What do you guys do? What did you do? How did it work? What were the hurdles? And those are big things for us.
Well, everybody is there, and we'll be broadcasting from the from the National Finals Rodeo. We've already lined up the CEO of the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association, the operations officer, the one of the big guys at South Point where all of this is held, and it's just 3 days of us in the morning. Bringing the rodeo NFR to our listeners, and they all seem to, we've gotten lots and lots of people saying that they really enjoy it. But it is a veritable ocean of information, breakout sessions covering everything from media at rodeos to protection of the animals.
Correct.
And that one's a huge one. That's standing room only.
How do you
make sure the animals are, the rough stock and, and the calves and all the animals are taken care of. But it's a place for sharing ideas.
Yeah.
And, you all travel to different rodeos.
Correct.
You and a couple others have traveled. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not talking clear across the United States. But when you go up to Pendleton, and you go up to
St. Paul,
mm-hmm. Reno.
Correct.
You know, we went over to Reno and looked at that, and I thought we do better. We do this better than they do, but they do this better than we do.
Correct.
You know, those kind of things, and that's where the sharing of the ideas.
And the thing about rodeo, when you watch rodeo on TV or Cowboy Channel, and you see athletes helping each other. You see rough stock riders helping the other guys cinch up, helping
yeah.
hold them up, giving them, you know, what's this horse do? What's this bull do? It's the same way with the committees. They all want to help us. We all want to help them. So the community of rodeo is very special when it comes to sharing. You don't hold information because you're better than. You give your information because you want them to increase their standards of what their rodeo looks like.
And the and going along with what you said, these rodeo committees are just like ours.
Yeah.
I would say of the 600-plus rodeos, it's probably 600-plus volunteers.
Correct.
There are committees
Correct.
That are running these rodeos.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any professional ones. Maybe when you get down to the NFR, that's a completely different thing.
Yes,
but everything else leading up to that, I would say the vast, vast majority of them are just like us.
Yeah, and let's talk about Pendleton and Reno.
But I tell you what, let's take a quick
yeah,
break.
Let's do
because
that
that's really interesting. And also, what's the other one in Oregon?
Yeah,
St. Paul,
mm-hmm.
which is a very, I talked to their head of their committee,
mm-hmm.
and I was pleasantly surprised. See, it's a very small town.
Yeah,
and everybody in the town is involved.
Yeah.
I mean everybody.
Yeah.
So let's talk about those when we get back.
You got it.
This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank is a local bank. It's got four branches, one in Red Bluff, two right here in Redding, one down in Anderson. They are a small bank, but they've won national level awards for being one of the best small banks in the nation. We do business with Cornerstone Community Bank. We're real happy there. I like to think of it as the Cheers of banks. You walk in, they know your name. Yeah. Four wins. Cornerstone Community Bank. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back with Ted Bambino, who is the president of the Reading Rodeo Association.
Trainer almost had him in broken bones. The dream of a bubble I'll never put on. I'm jaded. Oh, I hate it. But somehow the highs outweigh the lows, and I'll do it all again, even though we both know I still have to let you go. So dear rodeo, I try and like hell to tell my...
This is an encore presentation of Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Turtle Bay's 5th annual Redding Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season. Open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights. Don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages. Plus, holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395. License 109-0355.
Cornerstone Community Bank is proud to partner with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. We'd like to express our heartfelt gratitude to veterans and active duty service members for their dedication and sacrifice. Cornerstone Community Bank offers personal and business banking solutions tailored to fit your unique needs. We invite you to experience the warmth of banking with us. Visit one of our four branches in Redding, Anderson, or Red Bluff, or online at bankcornerstone.com.
Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, and I'm here with the latest local updates. On November 5th, 2024, Shasta County voters will participate in the presidential general election. The ballot includes national, state, and local races, as well as...
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Yeah, let's be doing rodeo stuff here, you know, Garth Brooks rodeo and all that. Thanks, Chrissy. You're on top of it. Hey, welcome back to the show. 7:50 in the morning here on the 20th of November. About 42 degrees out there. It's going to be raining all day, my friends. We're going to be having tons of snow up in the higher elevation, so be prepared if you're heading north. I'm here with Ted Bambino, who is not only, well, he's my friend, and one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet, but he's also the president of the Reading Rodeo Association and has shepherded us between he and Bennett Gooch and Baron Browning, has shepherded our group, who at times threaten to pull guns. And let's just finish us like men. Yeah. And, you know, through the Byzantine layers of politics to get that one, the LOI, letter of intent, and then in February signing the contract so that Reading Rodeo will go on another 25 years with two 10-year extensions. And Ted, all of us want to thank our community
for
stepping in and rolling in and having our back.
It's a big deal for the community, for us, of course, but for the community. You'll know that this event will be there. And one thing I want to really stress is our rodeo is not going to change. In fact, if our rodeo does anything, it'll get bigger and better and better and better. We get the best cowboys that come into Reading in May. We get the best livestock for those cowboys to ride in May. It's early in the season. They're fresh. Their bones aren't all broke up.
You get everybody coming in. So, you get around August, you start getting a shortage of certain events because they're beat up.
Are beat up. You know, Red Bluff's in April. We're in May, so they come out for the West Coast Swing, and they participate, and they love our rodeo. Our announcers, they love our rodeo. Our people that come from all over the country know Reading, and they love this rodeo. So be rest assured the rodeo will be the same, if not better. You will see changes in the grounds over the years, but it'll all be for the better of this community. We talk about, you know, other events at this rodeo grounds, and, you know, the powwow is probably our biggest event with our friends at the Rancheria. We have the motorcycle races. We're going to hopefully house Big Bike Weekend next year. We're going to hopefully, and this is kind of under the cuff, and I'm kind of getting out there on a limb, but the city of Reading wants to incorporate rodeo days for the kids in the summer in their summer program that they have. So they'll have soccer, swimming, you know, all these events for the kids to sign up. And we're going to have a rodeo event for kids to sign up for their, I believe it's like a 5 or 6 week summer program. And they're going to come to the rodeo grounds, and our master of our junior program, which is my wife, Erin, will be facilitating with the city for these kids to come down there and do fun rodeo stuff and be a big part of this. So there are a lot of
great things. So they're not going to be riding a bull called Fu Manchu, though.
No, right? They probably will not be pulling the gates open for these kids. But we'll teach them about rodeo.
No, but I think that's good, yeah. Because the more the kids learn about rodeo, the way rodeo should be.
Yes.
And the more, you know, this is a rural area out here. I still don't understand why we don't have rodeo teams at one of our colleges, but I know that both of them are interested in it.
Yes.
It'd be great if they could put them together.
Yeah.
And so they'd have a rodeo team that represents Simpson and Shasta College. But you were talking about Pendleton, going up to Pendleton and
Reno.
Before we left. That experience up there.
So those are big rodeos. And
yeah.
you've been to Reno. And,
oh, yeah.
And we have, Bennett has gotten a lot of ideas from Reno over the years. They collaborate a lot. They're very good at what they do. But what I will tell you, if you look deep into it and peel the onion back, what is it that they have that we don't have? And we have just accomplished that last night, a partnership with their cities. Pendleton, Oregon is a city of 18,000 people. They have a rodeo of 10,000 people a night, and their town is just packed with people.
I didn't know they were only 18,000. Yeah, it was bigger.
It's not a big town.
Yeah.
But it's a big rodeo, and their city's fully involved. So with that said, if you look in their program book, you have three of their board members are on city council. So I mentioned that at our ad hoc meetings,
mm-hmm.
and hats off to Joshua Johnson. He picked the phone up. He called them. He said, what do you guys do with your rodeo? And he got a lot of information from them on how they incorporate the city with the rodeo over the years. Now, granted, they've been there 100-plus years.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that they've done over the years that have taken time to get to. But the basis is there. The cities that are involved with their rodeos flourish. The city flourishes, the rodeos flourish, the people and the communities flourish around it, and it's a big deal.
Businesses,
everything.
You know, for Pendleton especially, because I know all the different things they do with the parades, and everybody's involved.
Yeah.
And it's the whole week
right. Is
really rodeo.
Oh, it's huge.
And when you get into that, and you got all your hotels and all the surrounding hotels filled, all your restaurants, bunch of happy people,
yeah,
and then of course going to the rodeo, but it's all the ancillary businesses around there that, you know, let's say the rising tide lifts all boats, so that kind of thing, same thing up there in and I forgot the name again,
St. Paul.
St. Paul's a town of 600 people.
Yeah, yet
they have their rodeo is huge too.
Same thing.
Old
rodeo, been there for years. The community is the rodeo, but they do the same thing. They're involved with their city, their small town, but they're involved with the county as well. So they have a lot of successes that we hinge off of, and now we can incorporate into Redding, California, and be better at this, because we all get looking into the future. We all get looking at what malls we can tear down and what new malls we can build and all what kind of infrastructures we can have. But we can't lose sight of our Western heritage and our heritage in general with what Reading Rodeo brings to this community. So with that, we're excited to have the opportunities to partner with the city over the years, have collaboration with them on a quarterly basis, so we know.
This is really a huge step forward for not only the association, because I know because I'm a member what, you know, some of the plans are. And it's not like you're going to see the rodeo grounds explode out to, 10 more acres. No,
no.
It's on the interior there with better seating,
right.
Because we replace wood wood seats.
I mean, you did that. Okay.
Yeah, every year. So when you get a little bit, you got like aluminum seats in there.
Yeah.
But these are just things like this to enhance everybody's ability to see it. You know, big screens. I mean, there isn't a bad seat in the house, first of all.
Yeah.
And that's good because you go to some rodeos, there are. Okay, Ted, so then the next big step, of course, is we're heading out to the NFR here a couple weeks, right after Thanksgiving, and gaining all that knowledge. And then in February, they'll be signing the new lease, and there's no doubt in my mind that they will.
Right.
Looking at, you know, anybody that gets elected, even with all the votes out.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. On this Black Friday, considered the unofficial start of the holiday shopping season, some retailers have been going out of their way to get people off the computer and into their stores.
The Mall of America was planning to hand out $25 gift cards to the first 200 shoppers in line. Target's offering a Taylor Swift book and album combo to in-store shoppers a full day before online buyers. Circana Research says companies want shoppers inside the stores because they're three times more likely there to make impulse buys.
Correspondent Jackie Quinn. Despite the Israel-Hezbollah ceasefire in Lebanon, Israel's military is telling some Lebanese civilians you can't go home again, at least not yet.
While this ceasefire remains intact, it is very fragile, and we have got both sides accusing each other of violating the terms of the agreement. Certainly, that's what Lebanese army officials, what the Hezbollah lawmakers have been saying when it comes to Israel, that these are just citizens, they say, that want to return to their homes in the south. The Israeli military has this morning published this map. It shows a red zone in the south of Lebanon all along the border with Israel covering about 60 villages there. And it tells people not to return to that zone, saying that if they do so, they'll put themselves in danger.
The BBC's Yolande Nell in Jerusalem. British lawmakers have given preliminary approval to a bill that would help terminally ill adults and their lives in England and Wales. The so-called assisted dying bill passed today on a vote of 330 to 275 following an impassioned parliamentary debate. Stocks higher on Wall Street this morning. The Dow is up 192 points. Nasdaq ahead 131. More on these stories at townhall.com.
From Angel Studios comes Bonhoeffer. Based on the powerful true story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, as the Nazis tighten their grip on Germany, Bonhoeffer joins a deadly plot to assassinate Hitler, risking his faith and fate to save millions of Jews from genocide.
You will go to England as a spy.
I'm ready to meet my destiny.
Bonhoeffer, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. Exclusively in theaters now. Go to angel.com/Bonhoeffer.
G'day to you, it's Jean-Luc here with The King and Country, and we're bringing our Drummer Boy Christmas live experience to a big screen near you.
It's a cinematic concept film that will usher in the birth of Jesus like never before.
For King and Country, a Drummer Boy Christmas Live, in theaters December 5th through 9th. So light up that Christmas tree
and let us celebrate the greatest news this world has ever known.
For King and Country, a Drummer Boy Christmas. Tickets, showtimes, and locations available now at thekingandcountry.com.
Convicted of spying, a prominent Chinese journalist has been sentenced to 7 years in prison.
Gong Yuyu was deputy editor of the Communist Party-affiliated Guangming Daily. He wrote opinion pieces in Chinese media advocating for moderate reforms while avoiding direct criticism of President Xi Jinping. The details of the judgment were released in a statement by his family, which said that the seven-year sentence is a grave injustice to Yuyu and to every free-thinking Chinese journalist and every ordinary Chinese citizen committed to friendly engagement with the world.
The BBC's Laura Bicker. Amazon staff in India have joined strike action calling for better wages. Around 200 warehouse workers and delivery drivers rallied in the capital, New Delhi, under a Make Amazon Pay banner to demand higher wages, better working conditions, and union rights. Some of the strikers wore Jeff Bezos masks. News and analysis, townhall.com. You know about opinions, everyone has them, but to voice them or not to voice them, that is the question.
There's no easy way to bridge the political divides that have created rifts in families and friendships, but workplace morale can take a real hit when differences are left to fester, affecting teamwork and feelings of mutual respect. Finding a safe place to process emotions while remaining civil can be a very delicate balancing act. Experts say to cultivate a more peaceful working environment, people should practice humility. That means listening thoughtfully and remaining open to new ideas and perspectives. Jason Walker reporting.
A 16-year-old has died after being hit by a stray bullet on a St. Louis highway. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that Colin Brown was shot while being driven home from playing in a hockey game. It's happened along I-55. No arrests yet. More on these stories, townhall.com.
This is an encore presentation of Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio, right here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Today, the 20th of November, 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Good morning, Christy. Good morning. How are you?
Now doing better.
Are you doing better now?
Yes.
Training Ben.
Since I'm starting the show, I feel more comfortable.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. Do you need a hug?
Give thousands.
Give you a hug right after the show. Okay,
yes,
we do a group hug in there. Okay, weather here. Today, we're talking some heavy rain today, my friends. 100% chance of precipitation, high near 48. Wind gust as high as 24 miles per hour. Precipitation amounts between 1 and 2 inches. I've heard it's more than that in other places. I've heard up to 3. 10 inches by the end of the weekend of precipitation. Showers tonight and Thursday, Friday. Saturday. It drops down. The chance of precipitation is only 80% on Saturday. It starts clearing up on Sunday, and by Tuesday, a chance of showers, but partly sunny. So stand by. Get out all your rain gear. Be careful out there if you're heading north. You might want to make sure you've got the chains in your car. They're probably going to start stopping people again. Since I have Sheriff Mike Johnson here, where do they start stopping them?
At Farndale, if you're headed, north.
Yeah, Farndale. And and Linda, bless her heart, is on her way up to Weaverville this morning.
Yeah.
Of all places to go. But she's going up there because she's got an important thing going on up there in Weaverville. But she promised me that if she got up to a point that she didn't feel comfortable, she'd turn around. I said, yeah, what, Buckhorn? Yeah, you won't have to turn around. You'll probably just do a 180 on the road.
She takes it slow. She ought to be all right.
She'll be fine. The weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane is a family-owned, locally-owned company, a veteran-owned company. They've been there for 30 years, and they're into their third generation of the Kenny family running that place. And trust me, Chuck and Judy could have sold this business several times to the big corporations, but they haven't because, you know what? They love serving the community, and they really feel an affinity to their customers. These are really good people, and they provide great service out there. You can reach them at 530-365-3793. And I'm here with Sheriff Michael Johnson, who is also a member of the Radio and Rodeo Association, Asphalt Cowboys, and probably the Sisters of St. Mary's, too, because besides being sheriff, is that an automatic? You just get to join all these things?
No, not really. I mean, the Asphalt Cowboys, I inherit as a sheriff and, kind of oversee them and become one of them. And Reading Rodeo Association kind of brings me in as well. But everything else I'm involved in, no, it's not mandatory and not automatic. It's because I want to stay involved in the community. I want to have input on various things we do. So, hey, before we move on, though, Carl,
yes, sir.
Let's talk about the best thing about the weather forecast for this week. It hopefully will start the duck migration.
There we go.
Get waterfowl down here in the valley.
There we go.
So that's why I'm looking forward to this weather, and that's why I woke up today smiling.
Got two dogs? One dog?
One dog.
Just the one dog.
Yep.
But I know that you are a duck hunter. Yep. And do you eat duck?
I do, yeah. Sure. All the duck that I get, I usually breast them and bone them all out. And at the end of the season, I take several pounds of meat, duck, pheasant, and game, wild boar or deer down to Kent's, and I have meat sticks made. That's my thing.
Oh, okay.
So it's a blend of all I call it hoof and feather.
Hoof and feather?
Yeah, because that's a blend of meat.
I kind of like that. Oh, gosh. With weather
the
like...
rodeo. Let's go back to the rodeo.
Okay.
Yeah, because so
y'all excited?
Happy.
Yeah.
So happy.
I think the community is excited about this.
Yeah, it needed to happen. That's a good thing. Our community... you know, it's an icon in our community. I've told people that, you know. I've told you before. When I go to the state sheriffs, they all know about the rodeo. That's what they associate Reading with.
Well, we'll see nothing but even bigger and better rodeos, better facilities. It's not like our footprint's going to get bigger, but the facilities are going to get a lot better. Something that's been there 76 years, we try to pull out a... Chain McFence that was over there by the rodeo flats area. And we thought it would take, I don't know, 30 minutes. 3.5 hours later, six of us with a tractor.
Because it's been in there.
Actually thought they had cemented it in. Because when did they put this thing up? And Kip, who's been there forever, says, 1985. We thought that they had cemented it in, and they hadn't. It was just...
compaction
for that many years,
yeah.
With us digging it out in a tractor, pulling it, and then tractors, it was tipping, trying to pull this thing out. So it ended up. But those are all volunteers doing that. But see, these are all the things, and I totally agree with you that this is just going to make the rodeo experience better. But expanding and having this partnership with the city means that there are so many things that can be done. And you look at towns, and we talked a little bit about them, like Pendleton and St. Paul, Oregon, and Reno, where the city gets involved and more people come. And with more people, all the hotels, all the restaurants, events, all these things.
That's what I hope to see. I hope to see now as we move forward as a partnership with the city of Reading that they'll as we revamp that arena, it'll be multi-use arena. So it's not just the rodeo.
Yeah.
It'll be concerts and other events and motorcycle events and everything.
They had
else.
Reba McEntire there, I guess, years ago. And and when you think about it, and also associations talk about having a stage that can kind of come out so that acts can be up there and all this and just a number of things that can happen there.
Yeah,
it's a good venue. And
rich with history. That's what I like.
It is rich with history. And on our 75th, if you look at our 75th program, anniversary of program, the cover of the program had a picture from 1948 when it started of what it looked like. And behind the chutes, there was nothing. And those chutes haven't moved in 76 years. So there was nothing out there.
It just built around it.
And they just built around it, yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay, let's take a quick break. I'm here with Sheriff Mike Johnson. And KCNR is teaming up with Michelle Slade from Umbrella Marketing and Turtle Bay and Black Bear Diner to help out Toys for Tots. We're going to give you a chance here to win a great prize. And it's easy. All you do is you bring in a new toy worth $10 or more. Drop it in our box, and you get entered into this drawing that's going to occur on, I think it's December 10th. And you get four tickets to the Turtle Bay Garden of Lights. And the second prize is $50 in gift certificates from Black Bear Diner. So all it takes is dropping a toy off down here at our studios at 1326 Market Street. And all these toys will be going to children right here in town that would not, you know, it's good for them to have a Christmas for families that are under tough times. So not only do you get a chance to get 4 tickets to Garden of Lights, but also 50 Black Bear Diner Bucks. And we'll be right back with Sheriff Michael Johnson.
What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? You chuck it on that one, you chuck it on this one, you chuck it on your mother and you chuck it on your father.
Reading businesses, listen up. Black Bear Diner is now offering catering for events, meetings, and gatherings. Fuel your team with our delicious homestyle meals that everyone will love. Ready to make your next event a hit? Visit blackbeardiner.com for more information and place your order. Black Bear Diner, your go-to for great food and good times.
Black Bear Diner.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Hello, food fans. Chef Cal DiMercurio here, inviting you to tune in each Wednesday for an hour of helping you turn the drudgery of preparing home meals into having fun in the kitchen. We'll be sharing tips, tricks, and tempting insights that are sure to make your time in the kitchen a pleasant and fulfilling one. Come join me and my wife Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at Cooking Like a Pro, right here on KCNR 1460.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com has teamed up with Michelle Slade from My Umbrella Marketing, the Turtle Bay Exploration Park, and Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive to help out Toys for Tots this holiday season and give you a chance to win some great prizes, including 4 tickets to the Turtle Bay Garden of Lights and $50 in gift certificates, better known as Black Bear Bucks, from Black Bear Diner. All you have to do to get into our drawing is donate a brand new unwrapped toy valued at $10 or more to the KCNR studios at 1326 Market Street in downtown Reading. Then your name goes into a drawing coming up December 12th at 8:15 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio on KCNR. Teaming up with Michelle Slade from My Umbrella Marketing, the Turtle Bay Garden of Lights, and Black Bear Diner to help out Toys for Tots this Christmas. And giving you a chance to win some great prizes on KCNR. No purchase necessary to enter the drawing. 1 entry per person. This is an encore presentation of Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Ronnie, how happy are you?
Okay. You know what? This is one of his favorite little commercials. And I think we started it again when you were elected. Because we played for a long time and somehow got out of playing it on Wednesday.
Yeah, and thank you guys. Thanks for playing that. That always makes my day when I come to the radio show and you guys play
I know. I love to see your smiles.
We're here with Sheriff Michael Johnson, Shasta County Sheriff, of course. In the news lately, that tragedy down at Manor, when the guy killed a woman, stabbed her, and stabbed three other people. And it was just in the papers, being incompetent right. to stand trial. And you wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, impacting all the communities across California is the mental health crisis, and Redding and Shasta County is absolutely no different. Tragedy, the incident you're talking about, Carl, and there's so many impacts across the board for the community and not having a mental health facility. So, you know, as my involvement in dealing with the mental health is really comes through the jail primarily, that it really impacts our ability to operate inside the jail, and it impacts our budget, it impacts our correctional deputies that have to deal with them. This is all aside from what goes on the street with the officers and deputies on the street. The jail, we have a pod that is set up. It's called the JBCT. It's a jail-based competency treatment, and that is specifically focused around incompetent to stand trial. So if you have a person that commits a crime, they have mental health issues, and they commit a crime, and they go start the court proceedings, the court can deem them incompetent to stand trial because of their mental state, and they need treatment to restore them to competency so they can participate in their own defense, basically. So what happens with that is they're in my jail when they're deemed that, and we have to bring in the mental health services. We have to get the medication treatment started. We have to care for this group of people with kid gloves, really. And I'm not complaining that They're deemed incompetent to stand trial. I'm complaining that they've made it the jail's problem because, as I've told you before, we're cops. We're custody trained and cop trained and law enforcement. We are not mental health professionals, and it creates quite a bad environment for not only the person that is deemed incompetent to stand trial, but bad environment inside the jail is too. I have a whole pod that is dedicated to the JBCT program, and that, you know, takes your pod down to, that's 7 beds when it could house, you know, much more than that.
Yeah, because you got to keep them not isolated, but by themselves.
Yeah, isolated is basically the correct term.
Because they're being treated for
mental
health.
They have to be segregated from the rest of the population because they would be victimized if not, and or victimize other people. So, now there's another layer that the state's added onto it this year for us, and that is, they give us a number based on population. Every county gets a number. Our number happens to be 43, I think it is, where that's how many people we are allowed to send to the state hospitals. By the way, there's only 2 state hospitals left now in California, one in Napa, one in Tuscarora. And after you go over that number, they start fining you $100,000 per patient that you send for the year, and that comes out of my budget. And then at the end of the year, you can petition for the amount of the fines that you've had by the state to get that money back, but only if you start a new type of mental health program, which is asinine because it just doesn't work. And when that money comes back, it doesn't come back into my budget. It comes back into the county general fund. So they're penalizing me for the mental health crisis that we've got going on. And so there's so many complexities to it. When people ask me about, do we need more jail beds? Do we need this? Do we need that? Yes is the answer to all that. But the true, I think, focus of the community is we need a mental health facility. Back to what you just talked about, the tragedy where the woman was killed by a, you know, unstable mental health patient. There, we need to have those type of skilled lockdown mental health facilities so we can get them the treatment that they deserve and they need in isolation and keep everybody safe.
Well, would you say that the majority of the people you have in jail have got some kind of mental problem there because of drugs or?
I would. I'd say that there is the majority of them, whether it's drug-induced mental health or mm-hmm. true just genetically mental health, some sort or form of it. probably yes. Now, there's a lot of other complications that go with that. You know, people have to want to participate. People have to agree to take their medication. You should see, Carl, it is pretty amazing when it comes time to distribute medication for patients in the jail. It is a hour-long process where two nurses have to go with correctional deputies door-to-door in these pods, and it takes quite a while, and there is an amazing amount of number of them that are on one medication or another, whether it's mental health, drug treatment, or something. It's really become a problem, and just like the criminal justice system in a whole needs some work, the mental health system is part of that needs some work as well, and we need to figure something out.
Well, it's we've been talking, and this is another thing we've been talking about a long time, is having a mental health facility here. But can we get to, but again, it comes down to funding. Is this something, yes, would the state say, you know, would they actually pay to have a 25 patient, 30 patient mental facility, mental health, inpatient facility?
I don't know. Typically, I would say no. That hasn't been their focus. Now, what we're starting to see now, and particularly this last year, is the state has started shifting some of that homeless money that they've been putting out there more towards mental health. So I hope that's the trend, and I hope we see that.
That just makes sense.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. I know people have strong opinions about that. But just giving money, something for nothing, doesn't work. I mean, they've been doing that with the homeless for years, and it's just, they've dumped billions into that.
$27 billion spent on homelessness by the state of California without tracking the money to see which programs are working, which aren't, and they have no idea.
Well, you could just make a blanket statement and say $27 billion, did you say?
Yeah, that's what I read.
And the situation's gotten worse.
Homelessness has doubled. And a lot of the homelessness are people with mental health issues.
And I was just going to say that. And there's a large percentage of the homeless out there that have mental health issues and need treatment and need to be in these programs, too. So shifting that money, hopefully, we'll see them continue to shift that money. But the one thing that I fear with that is, or I anticipate, I should say, with that is, if the state does start shifting that money, they're not going to open state hospitals. They're going to push it on the counties and say, here's the money, you guys go do it.
Well, how many people, you get to send, what, 43?
I think that's the number.
Let's just say 43. So you sent your 43 to the state hospital, but we need room for another 20. That's where that facility could really help.
Right.
And again, it saves the state. I'm talking about the state builds it. You know, okay, yeah, Here's your 20-person inpatient facility. Now, we've got to come up with the funds.
Operational costs,
which are going to be several million dollars a year, I imagine. But you could do part of it out of County Health and Human Services, but you still got to have custodians, guards, nurses, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's a mess.
I've been on the phone over the past couple of weeks talking with Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey, and what Butte County is trying to put together, I actually think they've started it, is a way to kind of intercept these incompetent stand trials before they make it to court. They could start restoring that client, customer, whatever you want to call them, person that has mental health issues and has committed a crime, they start restoring them before they even get their case to court. That way, when they come to court, they don't get deemed incompetent to stand trial, then they don't get sent to the jail, they don't become our problem, they don't become the community's problem and this heavy burden. Because I told you about sending that number to state hospitals, Carl, but also when they're deemed incompetent to stand trial and they're in my program inside the jail, they're also considered part of that number. Even the ones I'm housing and trying to deal with internally, the state counts as part of my 43 number. So,
well, that's not fair.
Oh, it's the state. Nothing's fair.
Well, I expect to see change in California now that we're going to have a new president. I'm sure that the light's going to come on in our state down in Sacramento, bless their hearts. and they're going to do the right thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm absolutely sure of it with the governor we've got, Carl.
I'm sorry. I just threw up in my mouth. I'm here with Sheriff Mike Johnson, and we're talking about a real problem, and we haven't really discussed this one before, that those people that are deemed incompetent, they're in a special pod that holds seven of them, which could hold more. But they have to be kept by themselves. They have special treatment, special medical help, all of this. And that the county can send 43 to the state. But if they send more than this 43, they get a $100,000 fine per. But what you just said was if they're in your facility, they still count as part of that 43.
Right.
Well, that's not fair. That just doesn't seem fair. Because what are they doing? They're not. So what happens if you have 40 at the state, and you've got five in the county. The state's not taking care of them.
$200,000 fine for me, to my budget.
Well, time to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by a happier group at Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, across the parking lot from the old Lucky Miller's. Been there. Cypress Square Barbershop started in 1960. They've been in the same facility there at Cypress Square Barbershop since 1967. It's a great place to get a haircut. I love it there. Never had a bad haircut in 17 years. I make an appointment by calling 530-244-9478, or you can just drop by. If they have an opening, you'll get a great haircut. It's not a hair salon. It's a barbershop, an old-fashioned barbershop. They shave around your neck. They shave around your ears. It's a pleasant place. No politics are ever discussed there. Just good stuff like golf, hunting, cars, what's going on right then. It's Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. We'll be right back with Sheriff Mike Johnson.
Turtle Bay's 5th annual Redding Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season, open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights, don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Looking for a unique gift this Christmas? Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson has distinct treasures to choose from, including Christmas decorations, vinyl records, DVDs, vintage toys, and antique jewelry, such as brooches and rings, necklaces and bracelets. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles also offers vintage clothing and accessories, such as retro dresses and scarves, jackets and hats, along with vintage furniture, tablecloths, and silverware, cookware, and glassware. And don't forget Mantiques, including military memorabilia, camping and mining equipment, men's jewelry such as crosses and rings, sports memorabilia, and collectibles. Come find that perfect gift this Christmas at Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson. Open Monday 10 to 6, closed Tuesday and Wednesday. Open Thursday through Saturday from 10 to 6, and Sunday noon to 5.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit SimpsonU.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Get ready, rodeo fans. From December 4th to the 7th, we're bringing you live coverage straight from the National Finals Rodeo.
Tune in as we go behind the scenes with exclusive interviews featuring contestants, stock contractors, and even the president of the PRCA.
Whether you're a diehard fan or just love the excitement of the rodeo, you won't want to miss a second of the show.
Join us live from the National Finals Rodeo, December 4th through 7th from 7 to 9 a.m.
Brought to you by the Redding Rodeo Association and Redding Rancheria, bucking by the river.
This is an encore presentation of Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Is that the Trump dance? Is that the Trump dance? Anyway, hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindebach. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. They have a lung nodule screening program that provides patients with an opportunity to screen for precancerous lung nodules before they progress into lung cancer. And this is at Shasta Regional Medical Center. The only low-dose screening north of Sacramento is at Shasta Regional Medical Center. For more information, go to their website, Shasta Regional Medical Center. We talked to Dr. Pramila Danuka, an oncologist, yesterday, and she talked a lot about this, how lung cancer is one of those that you don't find it until all of a sudden there's symptoms. And sometimes then you're at stage three. With this type of lung screening, you can find it before anything happens, when it's just maybe started. So, more information, go to their website. I'm here with Sheriff Michael Johnson, Shasta County Sheriff. We're talking about the problems with our... And every time you come on here, you just infuriate me. Not with you,
I'm doing
Mike.
Doing my job.
Not with you, Mike. We go back a ways. It's with the things the state do to just make it harder to take care of our citizens who are having problems. And some of them are, it's all drug-induced. Okay, so we can get them into a program. And we have organizations that can do that, and they're successful. But you get some people that are just either genetically, like you said, mentally ill, can't take care of themselves, or is incompetent to understand or even to stand trial, like the one that happened down at the manor where he killed a woman and wounded three others. But keeping them in the jail is extremely difficult. And if you send them, you can send them to the state hospitals, of which there's only two. If you send any more than 43, and the ones you have in the jail count on that 43, you get fined $100,000. Is that per incident?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure is.
So if you had a bad month and we had 46, you know, only 43 at the state facilities, but three or four in the county jail, that's $300,000.
Yeah, it sure is. It's
and comes right out of your budget.
As you can see, it adds up really quick. And well, you know, not just the complaint that comes out of my budget, but it's county money. It's county.
Yeah.
$300,000 could go a long way for other things that.
Oh my gosh.
Services that citizens need here. So it's definitely frustrating, Carl. And you know, when we talk about the jail and the population, what you're describing there, and the mental health. If you take the mental health population and the drug use, I won't say addicts, I don't all have to be addicts, but people that use drugs in the jail, they account for a very high percentage of our jail custody deaths. And when people talk about deaths inside the jail and custody deaths, they need to understand that, You know, people don't die because they go to jail. They die while they're in jail. And it's not that environment where it's the absence of care or the non-compassionate correctional deputies that are allowing these people to die or not giving them enough care and they're dying. You know, we're dealing with a super high-risk population, both of those, the drug population and the mental health population. And when your jail's filled with that, yeah, bad things happen. Bad things happen to individuals. Bad things happen. We have inmate on staff assaults. We have inmate on inmate assaults. We have overdoses in the jail, you know, because they're smuggling drugs in one way or another. And we have just a multitude of problems that go on and lawsuits that come with that. It's really, really a tough environment, and it's a tough thing to manage.
Well, I just saw a big article about assaults from inmates onto correctional officers has just exploded.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are sexual assaults because, you know, you have women correctional officers working there, or maybe it's the other way, I don't know, but it's a...
It's both ways.
It's sure. Both ways that the number of assaults on correctional officers has exploded in this last year or two. So, and that's something else you have to...
Yeah, face. And that's all... It's all because the dynamics of the jail have changed, the county jails changed. When they shifted everything away from prisons, you know, realignment, and pushed all these people into the county jails and into the communities, it changed the whole dynamic of the jail.
Because, you know, jails used to be for like a year. You know, somebody goes out and steals a car, goes to jail for a year.
Right.
I'm just using that as an example. Now you got gang members. Now you got some heavy-duty hitters
filled
in there.
Filled with felons is what we've got.
Yeah, you've got some really bad guys in there, mm-hmm. and girls, and, you know, gang members. You've got murderers, rapists, child sexual assault experts, all those things.
Yeah.
So that's what your jail is filled up with. It used to be where they belonged in a prison.
Yeah.
Where they
no longer. We've got all the felons, and you're right about that. And we have real live hardcore prison politics that go on in there. There's actually a pod boss in each of those that run things, and there's assaults that are planned. It's crazy. And we have to. And when people come in, and we know we're going to be keeping them for a while, the classification process is really crucial because we have to figure out how to keep some of these populations segregated from the others, right? And the different pods are different levels of those felons. You know, there's the violent,
yeah,
aggravated ones. There's the sexual offenders. It just goes on and on. And
say a child sex pervert that's in the jail. You've got to keep him isolated.
Well, we got to keep him among others like
others
him.
Like him.
Right.
Otherwise, yeah. he's toast.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I'm glad everybody couldn't see my expression. Right.
Expression. Yeah. Similar to your expression about Sacramento administration.
This leads me to another question that just came up today. As you know, California, and now LA has just voted itself to be a sanctuary city, but California voted that so that our law enforcement cannot help ICE with illegals who have committed crimes.
Right.
You can't turn them over according to the state law.
Not quite like that.
We
cannot focus our efforts on enforcement efforts on people who are here simply as illegal immigrants. So it used to be I contacted somebody on the street, let's say in the middle of the night, and this is a true story how it used to go. And I'm investigating something there, you know, suspicious behavior. I think they're up to no good. Turns out I don't have a crime. But it also turns out as I'm dealing with this person, they're an illegal immigrant.
Right.
So I used to be able to take them to jail, book them in, notify ICE. ICE would deal with them. They would deport them or work on the process. You cannot do that anymore.
But
if you have a crime and they're booked in on a crime, we can notify them and they can deal with them.
Okay. You know what? That's what I thought there had to be something missing there. So that makes a little more sense. If the guy's a lawbreaker, yeah, then you can turn him over to ICE.
It makes a little more sense, but not total sense.
Not total sense.
We're just, you know, you want to be a citizen? Great. Come here and go through the process and be a citizen.
Well, I think things are going to change drastically next year. Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How you guys doing?
We're doing fine, Jimmy. What's up?
Good. I just got a couple quick questions I would like Officer Johnson's opinion on.
Sheriff, that's Sheriff Johnson.
Oh, I'm Sheriff Johnson.
That's okay, Jimmy. Go ahead.
Got it. Okay. So in the last, since we built this new courthouse, we were told that we need more administration to deal with all these crimes. And now we're hearing we need more judges to deal with all these crimes. And it seems to me, and I'm no expert, but it seems to me that we need more administration and more judges because we have so many repeat offenders. So I would like Sheriff Johnson's opinion on what he thinks about more jail space, which the citizens of this county have been calling for years. And I'm hearing you guys talking about, you know, we have shot callers in the jails now, like they had in prisons.
That's correct. Know? Yep.
And we've had wings of prisons shut down, if I'm not mistaken.
You're correct.
Up in Susanville.
Yep.
So, I would just like to know, if you think we absolutely need more places to incarcerate these people and keep them off the streets.
Jimmy, the answer is absolutely yes. I would say the better system that was what we had when we had the prisons as being that extra space to put people. So because the prisons limit the amount of people that we can send to them, they end up staying and getting housed here in the county. And that creates a problem for us in jail space and bed space. Also compounding that is what you mentioned, that there is a bottleneck going on at the in the criminal justice system with the courts and prosecution. And I'm not pointing the finger at anybody because we're all part of the criminal justice system, and so we need to figure that out as well. But those two things definitely are what impact the jail population. And the answer for you is yes, we absolutely need more bed space because although we talk about programs and we talk about people and rehabilitation and alternative custody programs and everything else, which are all good, I'm not knocking them, but there is a good large segment of the criminal population that are housed in my jail that have no desire, no want, no care to participate in any of those programs, and if you let them out, all they're going to do is continue to victimize people. Therefore, we need more space to hold those type of people. So right. I am all for that, and I haven't given up on that, Jimmy. I hope to implement another proposal somewhere down the road here where we can, our community can get behind a long-term plan to do just that.
Okay, and one more quick comment. I heard there's legislation to reverse the $950
Prop 36 passed by a huge majority, which...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yesterday I was at Home Depot. I seen some guy ride up on a bike, go into Home Depot, and he walked right past me with a battery-operated DeWalt skill saw, walked right by me and just walked right out of the door. And I told the guys, I said, hey, that guy just walked out of the door. And they basically said, well, we can't do anything. So I just hope all that stuff changes. So thank you, Sheriff Johnson, and you guys have a good day.
Thanks a lot, Jimmy.
Yeah, you're welcome. And to address that, the law has changed back, and we will be able to start addressing those type of thefts again. I will tell you the same thing, Jimmy, that I've told other people with the passing of Prop 36. It's also going to take those companies, especially big box companies, they are going to have to participate. They're going to have to still want to follow through with prosecution because if they keep their policies of a hands-off policy and they're not going to do anything, and then we send the resources to apprehend that. Let's take your example. We apprehend that guy. We get the skill saw back, and then the company says, yeah, well, great, thank you, we appreciate it, but we don't want prosecution. Then we're not going to end up going to those anymore. So it takes participation by everybody.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395. License 109-0355.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Cornerstone Community Bank is proud to partner with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. We'd like to express our heartfelt gratitude to veterans and active duty service members for their dedication and sacrifice. Cornerstone Community Bank offers personal and business banking solutions tailored to fit your unique needs. We invite you to experience the warmth of banking with us. Visit one of our four branches in Redding, Anderson, or Red Bluff, or online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is an encore presentation of Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl Lundebaum. Good morning. 8:52 in the morning, about 44 degrees out there. It's going to be raining today, up to 1 to 2 inches possible today, with gust of wind as high as 24 miles per hour. Tonight, patchy fog and more rain tomorrow. Friday, rain, 100% chance. Thunderstorms may be possible, too. So be careful out there, my friends. The weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Locally owned, locally operated, veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Reach them at 530-365-3793. Now I'm here with Sheriff Mike Johnson. We've just covered a
And I would appreciate
a plethora of subjects today.
I'd appreciate, Carl, if the rest of the day at the end of that weather report you say, and the duck migration is going to start.
The duck migration will probably start at this point, and there will be the sheriff in 100% rain with his dog sitting in the water waiting for ducks to fly over, and he makes these strange quacking sounds, and so he can shoot a duck.
And my dog can go out and have the time of her life. That's what matters.
Is that what she likes?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I told you the story about I was duck hunting, and one dog, both of them lapped, one dog just leaping 100 feet out into the water, you know, chasing down ducks, and the other one would go to the water and literally look at its owner and say, you know, and he would
go out there.
Yeah, he would pour a cup of coffee, and he said, get in the water. And each foot, he'd have to say, get in the water. And then the dog would get in the water, retrieve the duck, not bring it back, just spit it out on the ground, and just walk away. That's the kind of dog I'd get.
Yeah, that's not my type of dog.
That's not your type of dog.
No.
Any good news coming? We've talked about, one, yeah, we need a jail. Mm-hmm. Two, the ones with really mental, they're incompetent to stand trial. You've got a whole pod devoted to these that it costs after you send 43 of them, including the ones that you have in custody right there at the jail, $100,000 per person you send that comes out of your budget.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you ever get the money back, it doesn't come back to your budget. It comes back to the county. So
I'll give you some good news.
Let's go off of those topics. Let's get out of that.
So we our patrol is pretty well staffed now, and we're getting another, I think it's six out of the, well, four out of the academy and two laterals coming to us. So
cool.
That's very positive. They've been able to be very proactive in the county, and with between patrol and our AB 109 unit, our MET unit, and our drug task force, they have just been slaughtering the felonies out there and getting a lot of dope, a lot of fentanyl, a lot of bad stuff and bad people and guns off the street. So that's all been going really good. We don't always press release that stuff, Carl, because although it's great press, and I want the citizens to know, those are complex investigations that carry on. And if we put out that information, it kind of kills the cases. So, but I can tell you it's happening on a very regular basis.
So,
and
good news is that we're up on our deputies on patrol.
Right.
So that, that people up in Bernie and all parts of the county, you know, we're going to have sheriff's deputies there.
Well, yeah, we'll Maybe have more deputies on the street.
That's what I meant. Yeah. That doesn't mean that they're going to be living in
yeah,
that community.
Yeah, don't give people the IBM, give them a resident deputy.
No, that's
not
what I meant.
Yeah,
but, but up in the further reaches of the county,
we are.
They're going to have sheriff's deputies available.
We're always striving, as you know, Carl, which is a big deal for me, to improve service to the citizens. And proactivity is where it's at, not being reactive but being proactive and hunting the bad guys down and doing our job and making cases. That's what we've been doing, and I'm super proud of that, and the community should be proud as well.
Oh, I'm glad that's happening now, because I remember you were going through a terrible time several years ago about being able to recruit and keep. And it was the same with the correctional officers. They were, morale was not the highest, but things have improved dramatically.
Things have improved, and we're not by any means completely there yet, but it's definitely good news and positive, and things are going well.
Now, if we had another 500 beds out there, it just make things a lot better.
Can you make that happen for me too, please?
Yeah, I'll put that. You know what? It is Christmas.
Yeah, okay.
You know, maybe Santa is feeling good and comes down, and we wake up one morning and there's the jail.
I'll ask for that for Christmas, Carl.
Well, we should all ask for that for Christmas. Any warnings to people during this holiday season?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. It's the holidays, and so unfortunately, with the holidays, crime increases, and it increases on a multitude of levels. For the officers and deputies, they go to far more domestic violence and family disturbance calls because of the stresses of the holidays, which transfers over out in the public sometimes, which the other crimes that we see that are really on the rise this time is property-related crimes where vehicles get broken into, houses get broken into. So pay attention. Keep your stuff locked up. Don't leave your stuff in plain sight in your vehicles. Going shopping, lock it in the trunk, hide it under the seat. Be aware of your surroundings, and please definitely don't get intoxicated and drive out there. Find a driver.
You know what? There is with their new micro bus thing happening, where you can just, it's like Uber. Yep. Come in, pick you up, take you to places, and Uber and everything. Don't risk it.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
Not worth it at all.
I just had a friend severely injured.
Yeah.
The person that hit him, DUI, suspended sentence for that, and no insurance. And it's just, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Sheriff, have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll...
You do the same, and thank you, everybody. We appreciate the community support, appreciate people's involvement, and trying to make the community better, and just know that the Sheriff's Department is striving every day to make it better here. So thank you.
Well, thank you, and good luck with the Ducks coming in.
Yeah.
Now that you got your rain.
I'm ready.
Everybody, it is going to be a nasty day and nasty few days out there, so be careful. The rain's going to get heavier, and it's going to be here for the next 3 days. So be careful out there on the roads, especially if you're heading north. So take care, and God bless America.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.